This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, do we have a treat for you this hour? We're going to go through all of the games and give you what to watch out for, what is valuable to this contest. Week one, it's easy because nobody's played anything yet. So week one is like everybody's optimistic. Everyone's excited.
All the games are watchable.
Yes. Wait till we get to the later in the weeks when we get some real duds on the NFL schedule. We'll have that for you coming up. Last night, again, Kansas City, they lose. Detroit wins their opener 21-20. Lions take it. Now, I like Eric Edholm. He came on last hour to kind of say, look, you know, here the Chiefs defense wasn't really that bad. And I have to agree. We talked about this game earlier. The Lions had a great 91-yard drive. They had a 75-yard drive. In the middle, they had nothing. They went for it on fourth down once in the game, and they converted it on a fake punt. They went for fourth down on fourth down later in the game, and they didn't. They had a pass batted down. But other than that, there were about three drives, two touchdowns, one getting deep into Kansas City territory and turning the ball over on downs. But that's it. That's all they had. But nevertheless, they do come away with a win. It's a win. Dan Campbell says, hey, we're 1-0. It's not that big. You know, we just got to keep focused. But I can't imagine that he really believes just that. I really believe that deep down he is thrilled that they showed up in an environment that is prime for the Super Bowl champion to win their opener. It is at home. There's energy. There's excitement. It's thrilling. All of those things. All of those things are set to make it so that you are more likely to win that game than not. But it doesn't mean your opponent is you're getting one of the worst opponents. You're getting a great game. And the Lions are a team that really were surprising last year and how they went from 1-6 to 9-8. And now they are 1-0 and beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. Now, as we talked about earlier, there's no huge statement to take away from this, right? Kansas City is going to be okay, right? Travis Kelce is coming back, and at some point they're going to roll. And they're going to be fine. And Chris Jones and the Chiefs will figure out something, and their defense will be even better than it was. But as I said to Eric, this is a scenario for AFC teams, especially elite AFC teams. Do you really want to be going on the road in the playoffs? So you got to be careful because, again, there's going to be a bunch of teams that are going to have double-digit wins this season in the AFC. They can't all be double-digit wins, right? Not all of them can. But there's going to be enough that if you just start messing around early in the season with not capitalizing on games and winning games in which you're a little shorthanded or whatnot, then you could find yourself going, hey, we had a really good year, but it just wasn't good enough. Now we have to go play Joe Burrow and the Bengals in the championship game in Cincinnati, or we have to go face Aaron Rodgers and the Jets on the road, or Miami on the road, or whoever. You might even have to face Jacksonville on the road. They've got the Jags coming up in week two. If Jacksonville wins that game and the Chiefs are 0-2, that's at Jacksonville. If Jacksonville wins that game and Kansas City starts the season 0-2, they'll be all right. I am not going to say the Chiefs are in trouble until they are in trouble in week 7 or 8. Right? They can be like the Bengals and go 4-4 and win the rest of the games. I don't know. I mean they have the ability to run off 8 in a row, 9 in a row. But it's not about that. It's not about missing the playoffs or not winning the division. It's going to be about where are you going when they line up the 7 teams. Eric said the same thing we said yesterday when we were doing our predictions. There are about 9-10 teams that you could see making the playoffs in the AFC. That is a lot. If you're doing what we did, which was predict how the divisions are going to go and who's going to make the wild card, you're leaving somebody home. You're leaving somebody legit home. Like, I think it was one of the ESPN shows. They had, like, a panel. Maybe it was an NFL ESPN show. They did a panel of their predictions, too. And some people had Pittsburgh, right? Now, I'm a Steeler fan, and I thought that was cute. But at the same time, when I looked, I said, if you have Pittsburgh, who do you not have making the playoffs, right? If you have the Tennessee Titans in the playoffs, who's staying home? Is it Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars? Is it Justin Herbert and the Chargers? Is it Joe Burrow and the Bengals? Is it Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? Is it anyone in the East? Miami, Buffalo, the Jets. Who are you picking? Who is staying home if you're picking one of these sort of outlier teams? That's how good the AFC is. So for the Chiefs, again, it's not about, oh, no, they're in trouble if they don't get Travis Kelce back. They're going to get Travis Kelce healthy. Of course he will be. At some point, he'll be fine and he'll play and they'll win. But again, if you lose to Jacksonville, that means you could be going to face Jacksonville if you both finish with the same record. You know, if you lose to the Jets in week four, you could be going to New York. That's not, that's still winnable. But let's talk about this Kansas City Chiefs team for a second. Like they pointed out in the broadcast last night, they're building a dynasty. They've been to three of the last four Super Bowls. They've won two. But they've also hosted the last five AFC championship games. That's pretty impressive. That's very Patriot-like. That's the that's very New England-like. So that's what they're accustomed to, playing playoff games at home at Arrowhead. When was the last time the Chiefs played a game on the road in the postseason? Can you remember Patrick Mahomes on the road in the postseason? I can't. He hasn't played a divisional game.
I don't think he has because every game he's because the conference champion's always gone through Kansas City.
Right, right. But you can play. You can host a conference champions if the number one seed gets knocked out.
I don't think he has had a road playoff game.
Because even when the Titans until
this
were the
year,
because
that
seed,
was my prediction.
Yeah, because even when the Titans were the number one seed and got beat by Cincinnati, I think they were the two. So because they had the game.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's gone on the road at all. So it's just something to watch out for in the next couple games. Like they've got Jacksonville, Chicago, and the Jets. Those two, right? Jacksonville and the Jets are on the road. Chicago's at home. So you can lose to anybody in this league. But if they go 2-3, 2-1, I mean 1-2, I should say, in those three games, I'll get it right. They could be looking and going, all right, we got to do some work, and we got to hope some of the teams come back to us if we don't want to go on the road in the playoffs.
All right, real quick, he has had, well. All right, this is stupid. I was like excited. It's like, oh, he's had two.
Yeah.
You want to know his two road playoff games were? And he's 1-1 on the road.
1-1 on the road. Hold on.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen someone put up.
Super Bowls.
Yes.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about.
Because technically it was at Tampa and at Philadelphia.
Shoot.
So other than that, he has not had a road playoff game.
He hasn't had a road playoff game. That's something I feel like I should know off the top of my head. That's so amazing.
Now you do.
That's so amazing, I shouldn't even question that. I should know it immediately.
Yeah.
That's kind of a failure on my part.
But
like that is so impressive, I should be like, yeah, he hasn't gone on the road in the playoffs.
Right.
Right?
And they've made the AFC Championship every year, right?
Yeah. They play in the last five. And they're all at Arrowhead. If you had said, here's an NFL team that's played in five straight NFC championship games, you'd go, oh, okay, how many were at home? And you'd go, oh, I don't know, four, three. But all five, AFC, NFC, whatever. Like, if you have a team that plays in those and five straight are at home, that's awesome. That's great.
That's
ridiculous. But that's dynasty building. That's what they're doing.
The very definition of a dynasty, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they still want to win more Super Bowls and go on to that, but when you're hosting all the AFC champions, I mean,
that's half a decade.
The last five have been at Arrowhead.
Have the Patriots spoiled the term dynasty? Do we feel like we have to call them mini dynasties?
Okay, here's the deal. Here's what we got
to
look at.
They went to 9 in 20 years.
But here's what we look at. I'm just going to jump sports real quick. Do we consider the Warriors a dynasty? The Golden State Warriors?
I do.
Because it was 4 or 5, right?
Yep.
So I think we are far removed from the Celtics winning.
Right.
How many went?
Right.
Went
11? Those days are done.
Yeah. And UCLA, I mean, obviously that was a dynasty when they just, won everything in the 70s.
Right.
I think now you got to look at the smaller number. The Patriots were an anomaly.
Right. But do people look at it as an anomaly? Like if I go to a young person that has only known the Patriots being so good, do I have to tell them that that's not the norm? You can't expect a team to do that. And that what the Chiefs have right now is a dynasty. Because that 20-something-year-old could say, well, the only NFL dynasty I know is New England, and they were good my whole life, and
right.
I'm a junior
but
in college.
I think we look at it this way, right? I think we look at it more as the team of the decades. Who is the team in the NFL team of the 70s?
Okay. Again, I kind of want to revert back to a little bit. We're not talking about us. We get it. I'm talking about the generation that for 20 years the Patriots were good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Like, I don't think I. Yeah, I.
Can I convince my father that the Chiefs are a dynasty? Of course I can. Right, because he's.
But can you convince your son?
But can I convince my son that the Chiefs are a dynasty?
Yes.
Can I tell him that no, you have a baby picture of you watching the Super Bowl with me when they beat the St. Louis Rams, and when you were in college, they were in the Super Bowl. Like when you were going to college, they were in the Super Bowl. Can we do that? Can we tell somebody that is that age that your definition of dynasty is way out of whack? That in reality, the Steelers winning 4 out of 6, the 49ers winning this in the decade of the 80s, but they won 4. The Cowboys winning 3 of 4. Those are real dynasties. Those are the normal explanations of greatness. Not 20 years and 9 Super Bowls, but what the Chiefs are doing is more in line to what the Dallas Cowboys did, to what the Steelers did, to what the 49ers are doing. They're about where those teams were in their pursuit of dynasties.
Yeah, and that's why I think that I think today's generation will sit there and look at, like, yeah, the Chiefs are a dynasty because it's Patrick Mahomes.
Right, right.
You watched yesterday. I mean, there's a large population out there that watched yesterday because of Patrick Mahomes, nobody else.
Right.
And what he's done with the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, everyone knows who they are.
Everyone can agree that they're great, but they're not New England great.
No.
Right? If you think a dynasty is what New England did, you may not look at the Chiefs as having that.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we've got the NFL schedule coming up. All of the games on Sunday, including the Monday Nighter. All right, what to watch and what not to watch, what to watch and what to avoid. But because it's week one, we're going to be a little bit more nice to all these teams because everybody should be optimistic. But maybe we won't.
I don't think we should be nice to these teams.
Maybe not nice. Okay, but we should be.
We'll be a little friendly.
Later in the show, we're going to talk about the U.S. basketball team. They lost to Germany in the FIBA World Cup.
Sorry.
We'll have that coming up later on in the segment. All right, are you ready to go through week one in the National Football League? Let's start in Atlanta, where the Falcons will take on the Carolina Panthers in the woefully terrible NFC South. Desmond Ridder is the starting quarterback for the Falcons.
That's just a hell of a way to start, man.
I know. I'm trying to pump everybody up for the NFL season in the first game.
We got the AFC South.
Might be the worst division in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, sorry, kids. They have games.
Yeah. Desmond Ridder is going to start for the Falcons. This is the third different starting quarterback in week one for Arthur Smith. Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota, and Desmond Ridder. Those are the three QBs he's opened the season with. But Bijan Robinson is going to be awesome this year. I really do. They got Kyle Pitts, too. I think Bijan Robinson's going to be great. But Carolina's got a new head coach in Frank Reich. They've got a quarterback in Bryce Young. They drafted number one overall. I think they gave him the job, like, the second they drafted him.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even go, like, you're the quarterback. Really, there's going to be a battle? No.
No
battle.
We're going to say there is, wink, wink.
We're going to wink, wink.
You know, keep our name in the paper. That's why we're doing it.
You ain't battling anybody for this job, kid. It's yours.
I don't even know. Who's second string?
I don't even know. Yeah, they got rid of, didn't they get rid of, they got rid of P.J. Walker.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Carolina. Second string quarterback is, oh, my God.
Oh, Andy Dalton.
Oh, man, Andy.
I apologize to.
Red Rifle is still firing.
I forgot. Red Rifle, my man. I forgot. Sorry about that.
Wow. Yikes. If you had, you could have said, hey, $1 million, who's the backup quarterback? And then given me a hint saying, he was a starter in the NFL once, I still wouldn't have guessed Andy Dalton.
Yeah, exactly. So they told Bryce Young, you ain't worrying. No.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
it. He's there for insurance reasons only.
Yeah, you're the number one quarterback. Cleveland and Cincinnati. Burrow signs the big contract. Is he going to play? Is he available?
I don't think.
How's that,
I don't think he's playing. Well, they haven't really said anything yet.
What was it? A calf injury?
Yeah, it was a calf injury.
They haven't said anything.
Yeah, I don't. God, that's a great question.
He participated in throwing drills last week, but they still haven't said anything. But they think he'll play.
I mean, he's not listed. I'm looking at the depth chart. He's not listed any doubtful.
Okay, so questionable. I guess he'll play.
I mean, Ja'Marr Chase said he was going to tackle him if he played and said, wait, hey, sit out the first 4 weeks. We need you at the end.
Chill out. Exactly. Because he is coming off a big calf injury, carted off the field in July. But the Cleveland Browns, this is it for Deshaun Watson. Now, last year, all right, I get it. 11-game suspension. Team wasn't that great when you arrived. Okay, but now this is yours.
Hadn't played in over a year.
Yep, now it's yours. Now you rock and roll with this one, Mr. Cleveland Brown guaranteed contract. Even Joe Burrow didn't get a fully guaranteed contract. That's and you're never getting one. No quarterback.
Well, he's not going to get one. He's already had a knee injury. Why would you think any? Why would you get?
Yeah, never going to happen.
No one gets fully guaranteed contracts.
Nope, it's not going to happen. Trevor Lawrence and the Indianapolis Colts will be facing off at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Colts are going to be guided by Anthony Richardson, former Florida Gator quarterback who they drafted in the first round. Once again, there wasn't much competition there. He had Gardner Minshew, though, one of our favorites.
Will he, when this game, because I know this game's in Indianapolis, when the game is actually in Jacksonville, will there be a little love for him there?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Anthony Richardson was he only started one season for the Gators.
So then he took off.
He's not a Danny Werfel, Tim Tebow kind of, well, they won national titles, so you really can't compare that.
Don't compare it to them.
I think Jesse Palmer, who's a former Florida Gator coach, now television personality, is still beloved in Gatorland.
There you go. See?
There you go. Former Bachelor, Jesse Palmer.
But they don't have a statue out front, right?
No.
Only Tebow. Werfel doesn't have one, right?
It's Werfel, Spurrier, and Tebow, the Heisman Trophy winners.
Oh, just those three?
Yes.
Look at you.
I do, because I've been there.
Yeah.
And my wife took a picture next
is
to the
Tebow
Werfel
kneeling?
Statue. Yeah, I think he is.
The statue?
No. I think he's... I don't know what he's doing. You know, it's a good point.
Because if they don't have him in the kneel, fist to the forehead, it's not really a Tebow statue.
Anyway, my wife loves Danny Werfel, so I know there's a Danny Werfel statue at the University of Florida. Yikes. All right, Tampa Bay and Minnesota.
2 years ago, this was a fantastic game.
This really was.
It might have been a Sunday nighter.
Now you've got Minnesota. Yeah, this could have been a Sunday nighter. Against Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Boy, I tell you right now, Pat Donovan, if he can't sell me the Buccaneers, then I'm not buying. And I don't think he can sell me on the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I feel
like there's a lot of holes on this
team. This is a placeholder, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. This is
Baker?
You think this is why Bruce Arians was like, I'm kind of done with this. Tom, you take over. I'm out.
I'm going to take my taxi cab hat and just leave.
Get out of here. You run the... You run the gamut of going up and down in a season with this motley crew. Minnesota, 13-4 last season, and they won a lot of close games. Listen, I give you credit for winning, win-win. I don't care how you do it. But they were really exposed when they played the Giants. That was a team that was giving up too many points. Their defense has to be a lot better. But the Minnesota Vikings were an exciting team with their win record. Last year, but they just, when they got to the postseason, the Giants kind of took care of them. I was really impressed with the Giants in that game. Buccaneers, well, we'll see. We'll see down the road where this goes, but enjoy the journeyman lifestyle of Baker Mayfield. New Orleans against Tennessee. This is at the Superdome. Derek Carr. I said this during the offseason, and I'll say it again. I really don't care that Derek Carr is on the Saints. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think Derek Carr was the... Remember he went to the Jets, and the Jets were talking about how much they loved him, but they didn't sign him? And I said, gee, that was weird. If you loved him so much... Remember they said, with Derek Carr, we could win a Super Bowl. We're like, well, why did you sign him then? Why did he leave without a deal? Because they knew what we all know. That was all nonsense. They wanted Aaron Rodgers. They got Aaron Rodgers. They were working on it. They just said nice things to a guy that was leaving and not going to be wearing their uniform.
I completely forgot about this.
Right? Exactly.
Oh, man. I mean, wasn't the ink just kind of drying before they shredded that paper and said, no, never mind?
Yeah. Exactly. That would have been like if I went to a Hollywood audition and somebody said that guy could be the next Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. All right, you got the role. You got the part.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically, you know who you are? You know who Derek Carr is? Eric Stoltz.
Yeah, he's Eric Stoltz. That's right.
I mean, they may have filmed a few scenes with you, Derek.
They may have devised
an offense around you, and then just like, you know, when Michael J. Fox said, no, I am free to do this, Aaron Rodgers says, yeah, I'll come to you guys. See you later. Goodbye.
See you later. Goodbye. That's right. That's exactly right. The Jets wanted nothing to do with Derek Carr. They said nice things about Derek Carr, but they wanted nothing to do with
him.
Nothing.
Man, did I forget about that. I love this.
Remember that?
That was fantastic.
So, I couldn't care less that he's on the Saints. Don't play well.
Yeah, this is not, on the watchability scale, it's the first game of the season. Of course you're going to watch.
DeAndre Hopkins, we'll see if Ryan Tannehill can get you the football in a timely manner.
Yeah.
By the way, listen, Titans, there was no team hit worse with the injury bug than the Titans last season. It was everybody going down. Everybody. But they got a lot of work to do to be amongst the AFC elite.
Here's his name playing, the wide receiver that never plays anymore? Or did he just up and retire?
Oh, which one is that?
God.
Oh, no, Julio Jones?
No, not Julio. He's playing for Tennessee. Yeah,
he did play for Tennessee. He's not there anymore.
No, I was talking about for the Saints.
Oh, the Saints, Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I know.
He's listed as a starter. Is he actually playing?
It's supposed to be some buzz about Michael Thomas coming back. Well, we'll see. Because, yeah, Michael Thomas, you never know. This is why I stink at fantasy football. I had Michael Thomas, and everybody chuckled. And I went, why? Like, you'll see.
Yes.
He never plays.
You should have that one game or two where he was outstanding.
So far, we're not really hitting home runs out of the park.
No, but this next one, though.
Pittsburgh!
Are you going to jump into it now?
Yeah, no, I'm going to bring it when we come back.
Yeah.
We're going to come back.
Because, I mean, this is your team.
That's right. Steelers in San Francisco when we come back, plus the rest of the weekend that is in week one of the National Football League. When we come back, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're continuing our run through the NFL Week 1 schedule. We got to get moving. I actually spent too much time on the worthless games that were at the beginning of the week between teams that aren't predicted to do much.
No, that's
true. Let's get to some more fun. How about Pittsburgh versus San Francisco? Five touchdown drives in five offensive possessions for the Steelers offense in this preseason. Kids, take that for what that is. That's outstanding. Now, will that mean the Steelers will be in the running for the playoffs? I don't know. Does that mean anything? I don't know. Do I think they'll beat San Francisco? I do think they'll beat San Francisco.
Why? Yes. Hey, how about
all right,
that?
Why not? Go on a limb. I don't care.
We're putting that down.
Yes, this is at Acrisure Stadium, Steelers home opener, San Francisco.
What's it called
Brock
now?
Purdy, Acrisure Stadium.
I know it was called that last year. It's still Heinz Field.
No more of the ketchup bottle.
No, it's still Heinz Field. Exactly.
Anyway, nevertheless, Brock Purdy and the 49ers, Super Bowl projections for them this season by a lot of people.
My pick.
Let's get the week one upset. Come on, Steelers. Give me something, please, this season, because I think it's going to be like last year. They'll have a decent enough season, but not in the playoffs.
No, I think this is definitely watchable. And out of all the noon games,
very much so.
Out of all the noon games, and we still have a few more to go through, all the noon games, this is the one that you're hoping is on your television.
I'm very much hoping is on my television. Absolutely. Because the next one is not. It's Arizona and Washington. Let the tanking begin for the Cardinals. Let's see exactly how this will look. Is Jonathan Gannon, has he decided that Josh Dobbs is his quarterback or not? Because I heard he did, and then I heard he said, no, maybe it'll be the guy no one knows in Clayton Toon.
Well, I think it's the one.
It better be Josh Dobbs.
It's going to be the one who shows up to practice maybe today.
Yeah.
With a fire in his gut.
Man, if you are starting Clayton Toon, you really are tanking this season, aren't you?
Yeah, but that whoever it is needs to have a fire in his gut.
That's right.
Whether he took a bus or he drove there in a car.
That's right.
Fire in the gut.
And if you don't want to be here, we will find players that do.
Right, yeah.
Right.
You read that right.
Yeah, you read that correctly. Washington, Sam Howell is the starter. I think Washington has started a different quarterback every year for the last 20 years.
Yeah, sounds accurate.
Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith, Robert Griffin III, Taylor Heineke, Carson Wentz, Sam Howell. I mean, that's seven right there. Crazy. How about Houston and Baltimore? Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are projected to go to the Super Bowl, but Houston has got C.J. Stroud. They're under new head coach D'Amico Ryans. I like the future for Houston. I'm curious to what C.J. Stroud will look like in his rookie debut. But, again, this is a rookie quarterback going up against a team that's got playoffs and Super Bowl aspirations. I am curious about Todd Monken in Baltimore. He's a new offensive coordinator, so take that for what it is. Any other nuggets of gold for Houston, Baltimore?
No.
All right.
I mean, C.J. Stroud was good to see his debut. Good to see what Lamar Jackson does now that he has a new contract and he's not thinking about that anymore. Odell Beckham Jr. size up with them?
That's about it. There you go. There's How about the Jordan Love era beginning in Chicago where the Packers will visit the Bears?
I am interested in this just because, is Love going to be, I guess, what would be Favre Rodgers 3.0?
So let's go back to the fall of 1992. Okay. Yeah. George
Sophomore
Bush,
in
the
high
dad,
school.
was the president fighting Bill Clinton in a presidential battle.
Bill Clinton was playing the sax.
Ross
on MTV.
Perot was going, I don't like either one. You should vote for me. That was what was going on in September. Then in September of 1992. And that's the last time the Packers started a quarterback that was not named Favre or Aaron Rodgers. That is a long time.
That is ridiculous.
It's crazy ridiculous. To go back 31 years, that's the last time another quarterback other than Favre or Rodgers was the starter at week one of game one for the Green Bay Packers. That's crazy. Justin Fields and the Bears. Yeah, we'll see. How about Las Vegas versus Denver? You know, Denver has not beaten the Raiders since 2019. They've lost six in a row to their division rivals. Not that surprising because the Broncos have stunk. Russell Wilson is like it's like a moth to a fly to a light. I just can't stop watching. I just want to see it. I'm gravitated towards it, man. I'm like those guys in Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Light! I want to see Russell Wilson fail. I don't know. It's not that I enjoy laughing at him. I just want to see him at Sean Payton and go, ah!
Here's the deal. I want him to play terrible but still win because I can't stand the Raiders.
Yeah, right. The Raiders.
But that's just a personal thing with me.
Yeah, and Jimmy Garoppolo, he's so handsome starting for the Raiders.
Yeah, he's going to have weak legs. And if you don't know what I mean by weak legs, watch Rocky.
That's right. Watch Rocky. That's good. That's a good line. Philadelphia against New England. All right, are we buying the Patriots being a spoiler?
Well, here's
dark horse.
Here's the deal. I saw this today. I almost put this in the good, the bad, the dumb as a good.
Okay.
Right. Bill Belichick is now rumored to be recently single.
Oh, is he really?
Yes. He and his girlfriend, a longtime girlfriend, have separated. Have broken up.
She got accustomed to being around winners. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, maybe. But what does that tell you about a man who's single? What's the first thing a single man does?
Dedicates himself to his job?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
So is that dangerous?
Well, at least they have a real offensive coordinator in New England with Bill O'Brien rather than the John Madden video game of Matt Patricia.
And now he has no time for, he could be long, long hours perfecting that defense once again because that kept him in everything.
That's very true.
This could be a scary situation now.
Philadelphia is a loaded, loaded football team, and so we'll see.
I think this is gonna have it's gonna be very similar to last night's game.
That's right.
Just close, a good battle.
If it wasn't for the pull of the Dallas Cowboys, I would want this game on my Sunday night schedule. Yep. Miami versus the LA Chargers at SoFi Stadium. This is your best non-primetime matchup.
Here's the thing, right? I guess a bet has been made between Philip and I.
Okay.
And Philip has agreed to change his, I think, his little avatar on Twitter to a Chargers logo if the Chargers win.
All right.
Does that mean I have to change mine to a Dolphins logo?
It just seems that would be the reciprocal thing to do.
Or should I do something, you know, do I have to, like, do something a little bit bigger and bolder?
That's what I'm thinking. I think it should be just changing avatars on Twitter. Just leave it at that.
Just make it easy, make it simple. Like, I don't have to learn the Dolphins fight song.
No, like,
we don't have to have Philip record himself singing San Diego Superchargers.
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that either.
I don't know the Dolphins song. I'll sing Fins.
My friend offered me a bet about a month ago. It was July, actually. He said if Tennessee beats South Carolina, you have to sing Rocky Top on social media.
All right.
And I said, no. Oh. But I think I'll take the bet because, I don't know.
Because
I think Rocky Top is a cool little ditty, but I think it's silly.
Yeah.
And that's he all said, it's for. You have to sing it.
It's for the silliness.
So maybe I'll do it because it'll be fun.
Maybe I'll do that too. Maybe I'll sing Fins because I don't know. Do Dolphins have a team song? I'll find that out. I'll do some
Miami
research.
Miami Dolphins. That used to be Houston Oilers, but then the Dolphins do it too.
I don't know, but I can sing Jimmy Buffett's Fins because I know they play it there.
That to me is the prime. That's the non primetime game of the
week. Yeah, I am praying to God that this is televised.
Yeah, I do too.
That they follow this up because I know I'll get obviously I'll get Houston Baltimore. They follow this up with Miami Chargers.
I hope so too.
And then Rams don't bother me for those 3 hours.
Rams and Seahawks. That is all right.
There's a curiosity factor with this one too because I'm curious if Geno Smith can duplicate what he did last year.
Me too. Yeah, me too. Geno Smith was really, really fun to watch last year.
Yeah.
A lot of it had to do with, hey, Russell Wilson. We're glad we got that albatross off our neck.
Not only that, but it was also for me, anyways. Oh, Geno, I didn't know you were on this team.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
fantastic.
And Matt Stafford and the Rams, the Cooper Kupp has been dealing with a hamstring injury.
He's not playing,
so
ever again.
I got it. Yeah, ever again. Sunday night game, the Giants and Daniel Jones against the Cowboys. I said this yesterday. I'm going to repeat it. I didn't realize this has been so one-sided. Giants have lost 11 of 12 against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It hasn't been since Eli. I mean, you know, every single year they had this game, I always think it's, the Cowboys lose.
Yeah, this is one of those games that even when you're struggling, like the Giants have been struggling since before last season when they went to the playoffs, but even, like, this is a divisional game. You lose divisional games. These teams beat each other up all the time. Doesn't matter who's good, who's not good. It's not surprising last year, for example, that one of the Eagles' losses was to Washington.
Yeah.
Like, it's not surprising because that's just the way that this division is. You mean to tell me that that's six seasons? In six seasons, the Giants have had one win against the Cowboys? That's crazy. And again, I know their record has been terrible, but the division usually leads to the best. And then, of course, Monday night's game is perfect. It's Aaron Rodgers against Josh Allen as the Bills are facing the Jets. And then also, symbolically, it's meaningful because of 9/11. That's the date of the game, and it's going to be in New York. So, and Aaron Rodgers is very, very happy to be on a new team. So there you have it. There's our weekend value games analysis. Come back. We'll talk a little bit of that basketball game in Manila next.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right. Thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. So the United States lost to Germany at the FIBA World Cup. They lost 113-111, so they will not get gold at this event. Germany was a legit threat. They were well coached. They're very unified. Couple of NBA guys, Dennis Schroeder's on that team. Franz and Mo Wagner are on that team. I think they got a couple of guys.
Yeah, I think there's a few.
A couple of other NBA guys on that team.
But nevertheless,
it was a very tight game. The United States had, even though they were dominating a lot of their opponents, the games that were close and the loss to Lithuania – the criticism of it was that they don't understand some of the internationalness of basketball. Like it's shorter quarters and whatnot. And so their mindset is a little different about how much time you actually have to get back in a game. But there was some concern about going into this game against Germany. Germany had not lost. They entered this matchup at 6-0 from pool play to the tournament. And now the U.S. is not going to win. Now I bring this up because again, I love kind of going back whenever this happens. Look, did the United States send its very, very best? No, it did not. All right. So let's make that clear. But it is a great reason why the 92 Dream Team worked for other countries, because it worked for other countries so that they could capitalize on players that they had within their own country to then that could go to the NBA, that could be used in competitions like the FIBA World Cup or the Olympics, that you could have a Giannis Antetokounmpo. He can play in the NBA. He can be a megastar, but he could play for Greece and so forth and whatnot. And it's worked. It's not that the United States gets constantly beat in these things. It's just that the other countries can use and maximize their talent without having that person making a decision of whether or not they want to be a pro in the United States or play for their country in international events. Oscar Schmidt, famously Brazil, didn't play in the NBA, could have played in the NBA, liked being a Brazilian player that could play in the Olympics for Brazil. But as Kobe one time said, he's one of the greatest basketball players that no one knows about. Right? There were a bunch of players that were like that, that couldn't play, that chose to play for their country, or were prohibited from playing in the NBA when we were really cramping down when the Iron Curtain was really cramping down on participants. But this is kind of what you get. And this is what the world wanted 30 years ago. They knew that they would get killed by the United States whenever the United States put a team together. But there was also a feeling of, but you know what? Here's what we're hoping for. That in the end, when we generate a player that is worthy of your attention as an NBA player, he'll play for us in these kind of things. And then we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe the U.S. won't send its best players. And, you know, yeah, we didn't. We didn't really send our top players. Jalen Brunson is a good player. Jaren Jackson, Anthony Edwards, Josh Hart, Malcolm Bridges. That was your start. Those were your starters. So, you know, there were Bobby Portis was coming off the bench. Paolo Banchero was coming off the bench. Austin Reeves was coming off the bench. So, yeah, the United States was loaded with talent, but it's not the best players the United States could put together.
No. Nah. Last time that's happened, well, I guess the last major time was when they didn't win the Olympics, right? They took bronze in the Olympics.
They took bronze in the Olympics in 2004, and I think they've won it ever since.
Yeah, and then they came back, and they're like, oh, we're bringing our A-team to China.
Yeah, we're going to
redeem team. Is this going to be a catalyst for France next year, Paris next year?
To bring
their best...
I think there were players that sat out of this because it's just the FIBA World Cup and it's not as big as the Olympics that will play on the Olympic team.
So we'll get Steph Curry to lace them up again. That's maybe a Klay Thompson.
I'm hoping that you can go. All right, guys. All right. I understand you didn't want to go to Manila for the World Cup.
You didn't want to spend your end of summer in Manila, Philippines.
Okay, hear me out on this. You're an NBA player. You can go anywhere in the world, right?
Yeah.
So you can go anywhere in the world. You can take your wife, girlfriend, anywhere in the world. But you sit them down and go, hey, we want you to be on Team USA Basketball for the Olympics. This is Paris. This is Olympics. Oh. This is you playing for a gold medal.
Be there in a heartbeat.
Wouldn't you go?
Yes.
Like, this is like you can't do a trip like this. You can go to Paris. You can stay in the best hotels. You can eat the finest food. But I'm talking about taking your wife and your family to Paris where you're going to play for the United States. You're going to walk through that tunnel. You're going to watch that team wave its flag. You're going to be you're going to wear USA gear. You are going to represent your country in Paris while your wife hangs out and just enjoys that city, one of the greatest cities in the world, all dolled up for the Olympics and watching you play for Team USA. Your kids watch it. I'd sign up right now. If I got invited by the United States Basketball Committee.
In a second. It's a no-brainer. But Manila?
No, I'm sorry.
Do you think, if you, you're an NBA player trying to sell the wife and kids, do you think wife goes, just drop me off in Fiji?
Yeah. Drop me off. Drop me off nearby. Where's this cool little? You go do that basketball thing. I need to be.
I'll be here in an over the water bungalow.
Yeah.
During your stay.
Paris in the Olympics, man. Next year, that's going to be great.
That's going to be fun.
That's going to be great. Again, it's one of the. My wife just went to Paris. She went when they were like burning the city down over some strike. So she loved it. I mean, she loved it, and it wasn't at its finest, right? There were lots of turmoil. But I will say this, and we can make the arguments all day long about cities and what they do for the Olympics, what they build for the Olympics, what these white elephants that occur when everybody leaves and you're left with a cycling center you don't need anymore, or Olympic size aqua centers that you're not using as much.
Or are you going to refer to 8 to 10 soccer stadiums in the middle of a desert?
Yeah, exactly. Something like that, where you just build these things for the one event and then they leave. But cities like Athens, London, Sydney, Rio, they all doll up the best. Beijing. I told you about my friend that covered the Beijing Olympics. He said, Tony, it was the cleanest city I have ever been in my entire life. Yeah, because the government made sure it was extremely clean. They weren't playing around. You dropped a cigarette butt, you were in trouble over there. He said it was spotless.
But now you have the issue of facilities not being used. The Bird's Nest, which was...
Oh, yeah. They didn't
everyone went to the Bird's Nest. That was the most popular thing, and it's just a big building that's gathering dust.
So while you're there, it's fabulous. When you leave, then you've got a bunch of stuff you've built that you don't need anymore.
Yeah.
That's the thing,
like with a city like France, that won't happen. It will be used.
It will be. They'll use it. They'll use it. Like London. I don't hear anything about London losing...
No.
Now, Greece, I did. Greece was in economic problems, and they had problems.
They were in economic problems before the Olympics.
Yeah, they almost had to give it up. They ended up pulling it off. And by the way, this happens all the time. Every time there's a city that's questionable for getting the whatever it is, whatever international game, World Cup, they always seem to pull it off. But in the Rio did the same thing.
Brazil.
I heard nothing but Olympics in Rio. They had the World Cup. And the Olympics, they have no money.
Might as well have been back-to-back years. It was two years apart.
2 years apart. Broke. No money. How are they going to pull this off? They've got a lot of homeless. They have to move a lot of people. They're cracking down on this. It's never going to happen. They're in economic and political turmoil. And yet, the events did go off. They were completed. They were done. It's the aftermath. No one ever goes back to the country 2 years later and goes, well, all right, let's see what happens now. What happened after all this? That's why. But London, you don't have to worry about it. Paris, they've been thriving cities for centuries, thousands of years. I think Paris is going to put on a great show. Great show. So again, if you're an NBA player, you go to London.
And I think I'm not going to say that this is a catalyst for that. I mean, I think they were going to probably bring all the stars, but maybe it is. Maybe it's like, hey, you know what? We're going to bring our A team. But I have to imagine, Serbia is in the finals, and their main player is not playing.
Luka Doncic?
Yeah.
Because he got suspended, didn't he?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was arguing with an official.
Why was I thinking Jokic?
Jokic, is he playing in this thing?
No.
Is Jokic playing in this thing? I don't think he is.
But Jokic is Serbian, right?
I think, yeah.
That's who I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jokic should play in the Olympics.
I know he wasn't playing. That's what I mean. Like,
he'll play
Serbia,
in the Olympics.
What I'm getting at was Serbia just made the finals without, I guess, two of their main players.
Okay,
one is suspended, and the other one decided to take a vacation.
Not doing it. You want the players to play in the Olympics.
It's going to be fantastic.
You want all the NBA players for all the NBA countries to play. You want Giannis to play.
Yeah.
If in the NBA, when the United States Olympic Committee back in the 90s voted against this. Pros in the NBA was like, make it happen, man. It's great. We love it. The international game, all that. Love it. Make it happen. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call. We'll have analysis of last night's game between the Chiefs and the Lions. What does it mean? It's only week 1. Are we going to overreact, underreact? We got that for you coming up as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.